Glory to God. Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been, November was healing month, and a few of my messages went twice as long, so we're leaking over into December. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Healing month is going to continue on into December, so we've got our Christmas decorations up. We are excited about December, and we are going to continue on healing month. We're going to call it healing months. Hallelujah. We're leaking over into December. So today I want to talk about where this is. We talked about breaking through to your healing. We were kicking over some sacred cows. And then we talked about the spirit of faith. So that was the second part. The spirit of faith was a major key in regards to receiving our healing. And now I want to talk about this third part. And we're going to talk about three key elements to receiving your healing. Three key elements to receiving your healing. And so let's go ahead and turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I'm actually going to read the whole chapter because the whole chapter is powerful. And then I'm going to pull out about three verses, and we're going to step into and talk about these three key elements to receiving our healing. But the whole chapter, James chapter 5, is about reaping our harvest of increase in any and every area of our lives. I mean, first of all, it talks about finances. And then it talks about healing. And so it really is. See, here's one of the things about faith. Is faith is the same and or operates the same in every realm. You know, so faith for finances is not different faith than faith for healing. And faith for deliverance and freedom and peace is not different. Faith is faith. Faith in God. Faith operates the same in every realm. So we can talk about prosperity or finances. We can talk about healing of our physical bodies. We can talk about peace for our mind. We can whatever it is we're talking about that we're receiving by faith, faith operates the same way, right? So the way it works, the way it operates is the same. So we just apply it to whatever area we need, whatever area we want, we can just apply the principles to it. Now there might be a little more, the things may be a little bit different in every realm, but faith itself operates the same. Okay? So we're going to read the whole chapter because it's about reaping our harvest of increase. It's talking about that. So we want talking about healing month, we want to increase our harvest of healing and health. Amen? In our lives. And so we want things to get better and better. And so we're going to find out how to do that. There's going to be three key elements that we're going to get into, but I want to read the whole chapter. So let's go ahead and just start with verse 1. James chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Come now, you rich." And we're going to find out that as we get into this, he's not just talking about all the rich, he's talking about the wicked rich. He's addressing the wicked rich. "So now come now, you rich," or the wicked rich, "weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and your corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud." So we can see that these are the wicked rich. They're not honorable. They're not walking in righteousness or integrity. They've actually kept back by fraud some of the wages that were actually to be going to their employees. "You have kept them back by fraud. And these wages do what? These wages cry out." The word "cry" here is the word "call" or "scream." Our money, our wages are calling and screaming. Our harvest, our income is calling and screaming. "And the cries of the reapers." The cries of the reapers. Now the reapers, so this word "cries" is the same word that's in Luke chapter 18. Remember Luke chapter 18, we talked about the shout of faith and praise? The shout. That's what this word is. Cries, it's the word "call" or the word "shout." The call or the shout of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, or the Lord of hosts. So the call or the cry or the shout of faith and praise from the reapers has reached the ears of our Father God, the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, verse 5, talking about the wicked rich, you have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. So we can tell this is talking about the wicked rich, not just all the rich. There are what righteous rich, and they don't act this way. And God has desired, and his will is for us to be rich, but not this kind of rich, right? Not the wicked rich. Hallelujah. Then he goes on to say, verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren. So I want you to see here, the first six verses, he is addressing the wicked rich and letting us hear. We are the reapers. He's talking about the wicked rich. And he is addressing the wicked rich and allowing us, the reapers, to hear what he is saying. And now he's about to talk to us, the reapers. He's about to talk to us. He says, therefore, seeing that the wicked rich, and seeing that the cries, that the shout of faith and praise has reached the ears of our God, the Lord of hosts, he said, therefore, be patient, brethren or family, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren or family, lest you be condemned because, or behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, family, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance or the patience of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Above all, my brethren or family, do not swear either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save, or it's the Greek word sozo, which can also be translated heals. So the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses or your faults to one another, and pray for one another, lest you be pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So let me back up just a little bit here. So we get to verse 13. It says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. So according to the Word of God, see, too many times people want someone else to do their praying for them. You know, so prayer requests are important. Prayer requests are valuable. Prayer requests are fine. But the other ditch is that when people's confidence is just in prayer requests and they're not doing any of their own praying, they can kind of short circuit things. Right? You know, prayer requests are fine if we're going to do our praying also. But if we're just going, and baby Christians, you know, they don't know how to pray, and so they think they don't know how. But you know what? God understands some just real basic talking to God, and it's called prayer. And so baby Christians can get a lot done just by talking to God. I remember Gloria Copeland said when she got saved, she just said to the Lord, "Take my life and do something with it." That's prayer. And he has done that. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't have to be real fancy. Some people think, I don't know how to pray. You know how to, we know how to talk. Just talk to God. Just talk. That's prayer. But there are some. We can learn more about prayer and how prayer functions and operates, because prayer is not just prayer. Just like sports is not just sports. There are different kinds of prayer, and there are kind of different rules for different kinds of prayer. They don't all function and operate the same. Basically, we need to see this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Let him pray. So if we're suffering, we need to pray. We need to go to God, and we need to begin to talk to him. We need to take his word to him, right? So we need to pray. Not try to push it off on someone else. Can you pray for me? Well, it's nice to have someone pray for us, but we need to learn that we need to pray for ourselves also, right? So that's what the scripture is saying. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Amen? If we're happy, if we're rejoicing, sing. Rejoice. Right? Amen. Sing to yourself. Sing, hum, whatever it might be. Sing psalms. Glory to God. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. Is anyone among you sick? Now, isn't it interesting? It's interesting that James is actually asking the question. You know, because generally speaking, you know, is any among you sick? I mean, go to most churches. I mean, that's not even a question to ask. I'm just wondering, is anyone sick? And nowadays, it seems like, you know what, there's just piles of people sick. So we need to understand that this was kind of a funny question. Is any among you sick? So, you know, if there is, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Right? So it's interesting here, is any among you sick? What's the answer? They are to call for the elders of the church. You know, it's sometimes I've heard of stories where people got offended. You know, I was sick and wasn't at church for 3 weeks, and the pastor didn't come see me at all. I don't see anywhere in here where it says the pastor was just to go see the sick people. What I see here is if anyone's sick and they actually want prayer, they are to call and make a request. Is anyone sick among you? Then call for the elders. You know, do your own praying. But if you want your church to be involved, if you want your church to come and anoint you with oil and pray, you call. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call. Let him call. I remember Keith Moore telling a story. You know, he got, you know, it seems like people got friends in the hospital, relatives that are in the hospital sick. You know, can you go pray for so-and-so, one of my relatives or whatever, so-and-so is in the hospital. He said, sure, no problem. He goes there. So he goes there and shows up. You know, it seemed like a little bit of a drive. Whether he drove for an hour, got there, you know, and you park and you go in and you get in. And he went into the hospital room and says, hello. And the guy says, who are you? He says, well, I'm Keith Moore, you know, and you're so-and-so invited me to come and pray for you because you're in the hospital not feeling well. He says, I never invited you. Get the hell out of here. So he turned around and walked away. And I think this is one of those scriptures that the Lord brought to his attention. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Right? It doesn't say here, let your cousin call. Let your brother call. Let your sister call. Let your, you know, let someone else call you. No. He says, let them call. He said, I just wasted an hour or 2 hours of my day that I could have been doing some other stuff, driving to and from, and there was just something he learned. And this verse here, you know what? If they didn't call, here's the thing about calling, let him call. What is that? Let him call is an act of faith. Brother Hagin tells this story. Brother Hagin tells this story. For example, he says there was one of the churches he was pastoring, one of the little churches he was pastoring, a kitty corner from the church. There was a lady that lived there, and she had some young kids. And she very seldom came to church. Didn't come to church hardly at all. And then, you know what, in the town, there, I don't remember who it was, whether it was their Sunday school, the head of the Sunday school, or someone, there was someone in the church, a deacon maybe, but it was someone involved in the church, at a church all the time. And so there's these two people, okay, these two. And this lady would phone him every now and then. You know, my kids are sick. Can you come over and pray? He says, sure. So he would come over, and she would meet him. He wouldn't even be across the street and at her house yet, and she would meet him in the middle of the street and say, I know, I haven't been to church, but I know that if you come pray for my kids, they'll be healed and they'll be well. She said, I know, I don't come to church very often, but I know if you pray, they always get well. And so he goes, prays for them, and they always get well. They're always healed. And then he hears the deacon or the Sunday school, you know, head in the church, you know, their kids are sick. And so he just wants to go over there and be a blessing. And so he would go over there, and he'd knock on the door. No one would come, knock on the door. And he could hear, you know, who's that? It's pastor. Did you invite him over? No. What's he doing? I don't know. Knocking on the door. So then they come to the door. Hello, Pastor. How are you? Doing good. What are you doing here? Well, I heard your kids were not feeling well. So I came over to pray. Oh, if you want to. You know, so he'd pray for their kids. And basically nothing. Nothing ever happened. And it just kind of bothered him. It was kind of confusing to him. How is it that this lady that never comes to church, generally speaking, she asks for prayer for her kids, and her kids always get healed? These faithful churchgoers and tithers, and I go over to their house to help pray for their kids, and their kids never get anything, generally speaking. You know, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. It makes no sense. And he's talking to the Lord about it. The Lord brought him to this scripture. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Our Lord said, did you listen to what she said? She met you halfway across the road, and she said, I know I haven't been to church, and I don't deserve this, but I know that when you pray, my kids always get healed. She is telling you what she's expecting. She is saying what she believes. She has faith. And he says, I respond to faith. You go over there. They didn't ask you to come. And when you ask to pray, they say, yeah, if you want to. There's no faith in that. They're not expecting anything. And they get exactly what they expected. Say, oh, interesting. You know, so sometimes we need to just understand the rest of the story. The rest of the story. Is any among you sick? Let them call. Why? Them calling and requesting is an act of faith. If they expect to receive something, they will call and ask. If they don't expect anything, they don't call. Or, if we're doing our own praying and we're all just expecting to receive from the Lord anyways, you know, not everyone has to call. But the cool thing about God is He's provided so many different ways to receive healing. Right? Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Just talk to our own bodies. Use our own faith. Speak the word only. We'll be healed. Let him pray. Just pray for ourselves. Call for the elders. Anoint them with oil. There's one. And then verse 15, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. God is so interested in us being well and healthy that he's just provided a bunch of different ways to access and receive our healing. Amen. He's not trying to keep healing from us. He's wanting us to enjoy it, live in it all the days of our life. Amen. So this is a couple things right here. We haven't even got to the three key elements, but I just wanted to kind of open some stuff up and share some things just from this chapter. So verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another. This is not talking about we just all need to share our weaknesses and share our trespasses and our faults with everybody. That's not what this is talking about. I was in a church service once, and it's like, you know, the pastor preached on this and then said, just go ahead and turn around and just, you know, tell the person around you some of your faults and we'll pray for one another. And it's like, yeah, no, I ain't telling you nothing. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. I'm not telling you my faults. You want to tell me yours? I mean, that's your own business. But I ain't telling you mine. Don't know you. No, if we confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. If I trespass against you, I need to confess and acknowledge, you know, I apologize. What I said was not right. What I did was not right. What I didn't do was not right. I apologize. And so we confess our faults or we acknowledge our trespass with one another as it's needed. And as we do that and forgive one another, that keeps the door open for healing. Keeps the door open for healing. Amen? See, if our conscience is bothering us about the way we treated someone, it becomes a roadblock and a hindrance to our healing, to receiving anything, actually, from God. Our conscience needs to be clear. Faith works because we have a clear conscience. There's this connection that we have with the Father. But sin breaks that connection. Sin puts a roadblock in the way, and this condemnation gets in the way. And so we can't receive. So what we need to do is just acknowledge to one another, not to everybody, but one another. And we see here that he says when we do that, pray for one another, we will be healed. He said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. The word avails much is actually the word that means profits many. It's very profitable. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person is very profitable. And so again, this is what he's talking about in this chapter, about being profitable, talking about increasing, talking about harvest. Hallelujah. And so let us back up to verse 7. And now it's interesting. Verse 7 says, be patient. And then verse 8 says, be patient. And verse 10 says, talking about patience. And then verse 11 is talking about the patience of Job. And somehow, 7, 8, 10, and 11, talking about patience. And as a teenager, I'm reading this, verse 9 has no patience in it. So 7 and 8, 10 and 11, talking about patience. And 9 is kind of stuck in there. And it's like, Lord, what is 9 doing in there? 9 doesn't fit. 9 doesn't fit. It doesn't belong there. Why is it there? I couldn't figure that out. It still made no sense to me. Until a couple years ago, I was teaching on a series, and in the light of teaching on that series, all of a sudden, this all made sense. And so we're going to get into the three key elements to receive your healing. And before we do, let's go to Hosea chapter 10. So keep your finger here because we're coming back. Hosea chapter 10. I want to read Hosea chapter 10 because we're going to see some words in here that are going to basically line up with what we're about to read in the book of James once again. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Hosea 10, 12 says this. So it's Daniel, Hosea, and I think Joel. So Hosea is right after Daniel. Hosea 10, verse 12 says, "Sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground." Why? Because it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek Him. It's time to follow Him. It's time to worship Him. It's time to inquire of Him, and it's time to require Him. It's time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord till He comes. It's time to seek the Lord until He comes and rains righteousness on you. It's time to seek the Lord. Why? So that He can come and rain righteousness on you. The word righteousness there, matter of fact, sow for yourself righteousness and righteousness, that's the same word. Righteousness means rightness. It means justice. It means prosperity. It means right. It means to make right. It means to cleanse. It means to clear self. It means to justify. Sow for yourself in righteousness. Sow what's right. Why? And it's time to seek Him. Why? So He can come and rain righteousness on you. So He can come and rain justice on you. So He can come and rain prosperity on you. So He can come and make things right. The word "come" means to bring, to call, to cause, to enter, to give, to grant, to put, to send, and to set. He says, listen, I want you to seek the Lord. Why? So He can come. So He can bring, and He can cause, and He can give, and He can set things right, and He can put things right, and He can make things right. Amen? So we're justice. It's time to seek Him so He can come. So he can come, and He can put, and He can set things right. So He can come and reign. Reign. It can fall on us. It can show up in our lives. We want Him to reign righteousness on us. We want Him to put things right, set things right, and make things right in our life. Amen? And we're talking about healing, and we're specifically talking about healing, then healing and health and deliverance and freedom, wholeness would be right. Amen? It's time to seek Him so He can come. So He can cause and He can bring this rain of healing and health and wholeness, rightness, setting things right, putting things right, and making things right in our life. It's time to seek Him so He can come and rain righteousness on us. So now let's go back to James chapter 5. So it's time to seek the Lord until He comes and rains righteousness on us. It's these key words. Until, comes, and rains. We're going to see these same words. These same words here in James chapter 5. It's time to seek the Lord until He comes and rains righteousness on us. We're going to see these three words. So, verse 7 says, therefore, be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Now, the word patience Let me continue on. Verse 7, 8, and 9. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned, judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So, the three key elements to receiving your healing are in these three verses, verse 7, 8, and 9. Matter of fact, verse 8 and 9 specifically. So let me give you the three key elements, and then we're going to start with the first one. Verse 8 says, you also be patient. Patient is one of the key elements. Be patient. The second key element is establish your hearts. Establish your hearts is the second key element we're going to get into. And then the third key element is verse 9, do not grumble. Why? Because the judge is standing at the door. And if we want justice, the judge, matter of fact, Abraham said this to God. He said, will not the judge of all the earth do what's right? Yes, he will. And so it's important that we grumble not. Why? Because the judge is standing at the door. So we're going to get into that. But let's start first off with number one. Be patient. Be patient. So therefore, verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren or family, until the coming of the Lord. Now this verse here, all I've ever heard is talking about the second coming of Jesus. The second coming of Jesus. Jesus is coming. This verse is specifically not talking about the second coming of Jesus. It's not what this verse is about. Not in the context of this chapter anyways. Okay, so it can be applied that way, but that's not what this verse is talking about. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The word coming, the Greek word translated coming can also be translated this way. So the Greek word here can be translated often. So if we're just talking about the second coming of the Lord, often would not necessarily fit. Yes, amen. It can be translated coming, often, being near, in his presence. He says, therefore, listen, be patient. Be patient. Why? Be patient, brethren, family, until the coming of the Lord. There is this often being near of his presence that we need to be patient about. The word patient means constant, consistent, endurance, and perseverance. Be patient. Be patient. Therefore, be patient because there is this often nearness, this often being near, this often of his presence being near. I want you to wait. I want you to be patient. I want you to be consistent so you can cause his presence to often come near. You hear what I'm saying? That's why I read Hosea 10:12 first. It says, time to seek the Lord. Why? So he can come. Often. So he can rain righteousness on us. He wants to come often. Now there is a second coming. There is a second advent that he is most definitely coming. And we need to be patient about that. But there's more to this than just waiting for Jesus to come. Because this whole chapter is talking about what? Reaping our harvest of increase in every area of our lives. And too many times people are thinking, well, it'll just, you know, in the sweet by and by, everything will be fine. This is not about the sweet by and by. This is talking about the here and now. He wants us to enjoy days of heaven on the earth. He wants us to his will being done on earth in our lives as it is in heaven. This chapter is talking about the here and now. It's not talking about heaven. It's not talking about waiting for something there. This is talking about patient while things are being worked out here. And how are we working with God so he can set things right, put things right, and make things right in our life? He says, I want you to be patient. Why? Because he said, your cries, your shout of faith and praise has entered the ears of the Lord of hosts. Right? That's verse 4. The cries of the reapers have entered the ears of the Lord of the hosts. He has heard. He has heard our prayers. He's heard our shout of faith and praise. And so now we need to be patient. Why? Because not everything happens overnight. Just because he's heard our prayer doesn't mean everything happens immediately. And we go, I wish it did. But it doesn't always, right? So we need to be what? We need to be constant. We need to be patient. We need to be constant. We need to be consistent. consistent with what? The shout of faith and praise. If it doesn't change overnight, we stay constant. That's what patience is. Constant. Consistent. Endurance. Endurance. It's not just a 100-yard dash. We need endurance. Why? Because once you get past the 100 yards, there's another 100 yards, and another 100 yards, another 100 yards. This is endurance. It's like a marathon. It's not over in 100 yards. It's not a dash. It's a race. It's called life. So it goes on for a while. He said, listen, I want you to be patient. Until. This is the same word in Hosea. Until he comes, until he comes. I want you to be patient until he comes. And the word come here is this often. His presence being near. His often presence being near. His often presence being near. His presence drawing near. We draw near to him, he draws near to us. So there's this often coming in our life. This often coming. So he can come. Coming. Often. See? And now he begins to use a farmer as an example. He says, now, he says, for example, I want you to be patient. And he says, my best example here is, I want you to look at the farmer. And a bunch of these guys are probably farmers. It's part of what people did back then. There were more farmers than there were employees. People had their own businesses. And we're living out here where there's farmers all around us. He says, listen, I want you to just look. As an example, look at the farmer. Look at the farmer. They wait for the precious fruit of the earth. I want you to see this. I want you to look. I want you to see how the farmer is the reaper. Okay? Your reapers, the shout of faith and praise from the reapers has reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. And there's the farmer, the reaper waits for the precious fruit of the earth. The reaper waits for the harvest. So likewise, see, he says, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, the harvest, waiting patiently for it until, there's the word until again. Until he comes, he's waiting until he receives the early and the latter rain, until he receives the rain. Listen, it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains. There's this often returning, there's this often coming, there's this often drawing near of his presence, this coming of the Lord. I want you to be patient until he comes and rains. And I want you to look at the farmer because he's patiently waiting for the harvest until the rain comes, and it can cause things to grow and increase. Things change. So I want you to be like the farmer. I want you to be like the farmer. Use them as an example. I want you to be like the farmer who's patiently waiting for the rain. The harvest is a result of the rain. But there's this process of time. So I want you to wait. I want you to be constant and consistent. The farmer sows his seed, and then the farmer continues to water the seed. And the sun rises and the sun goes down. The sun rises, the sun goes down. And he keeps consistently watering the seed. He doesn't keep digging things up and wondering why it's not growing. No, he leaves it and just waters it, lets the sun. Waters it, lets the sun. Waters it, lets the sun. And it's doing its work. It's growing. But he understands patience. It doesn't come up the next day. You sow the seed, and it looks like nothing's happening. You sow the seed, and you water the seed, and it looks like nothing's happening. And over the process of time, all of a sudden you see, boop, a little piece pops out. But that's not the harvest. It's just starting. It's already been growing underground, and all of a sudden it's now popping. It's just a little bit you can see now. You know, you can drive by the field and it's black. And then you pop by one day and there's just a little bit of a green tint to the ground because they're just popping through. And then you wait for more, you wait some more, and then all of a sudden it looks like the field is just like this green little velvet carpet. You know, it's just little. And then all of a sudden, it starts getting bigger and bigger and higher and higher. It takes on a different look. There's this process. Listen, I want you to be patient. Patient. Use the farmer. Be patient. Be consistent. Day in and day out. Be constant. Day in and day out. Because it's working. Because it's this coming, this drawing near. It's this rain of his presence. That he's being able to work to put things right, set things right, and make things right in our life. So just be constant at the shout of faith and praise. Constant in speaking his word. Constant in hearing his word. Constant. Listen, how does God give the increase? We sow and we water. We sow and we water. Paul said, listen, I sow, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. So there's sowing and there's watering, sowing and watering. Be constant in hearing the sowing, but then be constant in hearing that same word that was sown and allow it to water. Water the seed, water the seed, water the seed, water the seed. Constant in watering the seed so God can bring the increase. He can come until he comes and rains righteousness on us. The rain comes. Hallelujah. So, be patient therefore, brethren or family, until the coming of the Lord. So, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and latter rain. So, verse 8, therefore, you also be patient. He said, look at the farmer, now you also act like the farmer. Look at the farmer, patient, constant. You also be like the farmer. Can you see that? He said, look at the farmer. Now you be like the farmer. That's what he's saying to us. Verse 8, you also be patient. You also be patient. Why? Because our cries, the shout of faith and praise has reached the ears of the Lord of the hosts. He's heard us. Now the first key, the element to receiving our healing is patience. 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 We must be constant, consistent, and have endurance and perseverance every day of our lives. Be patient. You also be patient. James chapter 1, verse 4. So we back up to chapter 1, verse 4. Says this, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and incomplete. Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now the Amplified, I'm going to read that out of the Amplified. Patience. Patience. James chapter 1, verse 4 in the Amplified reads this way. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work or a complete work in our lives. Why? So that you may be people perfectly and fully developed, with no defects, lacking nothing. Hallelujah. This is what we're talking about, lacking nothing. In any area of our lives, lacking nothing. But how does it start? It starts by but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough or complete work in our lives. So that we may be people perfectly and fully developed. Perfectly and fully developed. Why? With no defects. Lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. So our first key element is be patient. Be patient. Hebrews 6:12 says this. Hebrews 6:12, just keep your finger where we're at. We're coming right back there. Hebrews 6:12 says this. We've heard this verse before, but I want to read it again. It says, that you do not become sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:12 says this, it is through faith and patience we inherit the promises. It's not just through faith, but it's faith and patience. Why do we need to be patient? Because we need that consistency. We need that endurance. Why? Because our faith doesn't just make something happen immediately. There's this process, faith and patience. In other words, we don't look at what it looks like. We don't look at how it feels. We look at what God says. We just keep looking at what he said. We just go, yes, I know what it looks like, but I don't care. This is what God said. I know how I feel, but I don't care how I feel. I command you feelings to line up with the Word of God. This is what I believe. See, we say constant, consistent. We tell things how they're going to be, what we believe according to the Word of God. Can we command our situation and circumstances to line up with the Word of God? Put on the oil, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I know how I feel. I feel heavy. But I'm not going to focus on being heavy, discouraged. I'm going to act on the Word of God. Put on the garment of praise. So I'm just going to praise until the feelings change. Right? So this is part of faith. We really are choosing to believe and act contrary to how we feel and look. We're citizens of the kingdom. We just act. This is the way we act. This is the way we think. This is the way it is. Amen. It's just exciting. But it's always upstream, it seems like. It's always upstream. We're not just floating downstream or going upstream. Why? Because our flesh will always reach it, want to do its own thing. And it just wants to act like everyone else. And there's all this input coming from the world that's trying to make us conform to the world's way of doing things. But God says, listen, don't be conformed to the world's way of doing things. Choose to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we change the way we think. The way we think is different than the world. Because this is the Word of God is what we think. And this is how we think. And we just need to be constant, 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 constant. Why? Because the devil. The devil's constantly at us. The world system is constantly trying to feed us and squeeze us into its mold. I think that's what one translation says, do not be conformed to this world. Another translation says, do not allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. It's trying to squeeze us into its mold. And that's not who we are. Amen. We have a mold. We have a mold of the kingdom of God. We have a mold of children of God. We have a mold of the family of God. We have a mold that we've already been made into. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so it's trying to change us. But we must continually be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah. Constantly, constantly. Consistency, consistency. That's what patience is. Constant, consistent. So through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So let's go ahead and start with the key number two. Three keys to our healing harvest. Key number two. So, James chapter 5, verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts. Why? Because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Establish your hearts because the coming of the Lord is at hand. This returning, this often being near of His presence, He said, it's at hand. This reign of righteousness is at hand. And He said, literally, the judge is at the door. So we can almost say, listen, this returning is so close. Sometimes we give up and the answer is just around the corner. Don't give up. Because it's coming. Until He comes and reigns righteousness. Don't give up because it's so close. This coming of the Lord is often coming, this reign where He's setting things right, putting things right, making things right. It's so close. It's at hand. It's so close. So be patient and establish your hearts. So establish your hearts. The word hearts, both in the Greek and the Hebrew, has to do with our mind and our spirit. Our mind and our spirit. So our spirit is something. Our spirit is who we are. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we live in a body. So our spirit is who we are. Our spirit is eternal. Okay? And because we're born again, it is infused with eternal life. Those who are not born again, their spirit is still eternal, but it has no eternal life. So it will exist forever when they die and go to hell, which is not good news. But when we get born again, our spirit is made alive. It's been life. The life of God has now been infused, and we've become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We've been made alive. Hallelujah. Eternal life. Hallelujah. And so, be patient. Establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. So our spirit is who we are, and we have a soul. Now our soul is housed in our spirit. It's combined. Matter of fact, Hebrews 12 says the only thing, verse 12 says the only thing that can divide spirit and soul is the Word of God. They're very close. They're like a hand and a glove. Okay, so it's that close. So we're told to renew our mind, change our thinking. So our heart, establishing your heart is to have to, has to do with our mind and has to do with our spirit. So number one, our spirit, we choose to believe. Believing is an act of our heart, an act of our spirit. Believing. Believing is a spiritual thing. That's what faith is, to believe. And then our soul or our mind has to do with the way we think, our choices. Choices, okay? So, establishing your heart, the word establish means this. We're going to get this, and then we're going to pick up next week. Establish means to fix. It means to turn. It means to resolutely in a certain direction. It means steadfastly set. And it means to strengthen. We need to establish our heart. We need to establish our spirit and establish our mind. How? By being resolutely in a certain direction. We need to fix and turn. We need to be very resolute. We need to resolute. We need to be serious and very bold and confident in our choice. I choose to turn. I choose to fix my mind, right? To fix our mind, to turn. We're not being turned because the situation and circumstances in life are turning us. We're not turning because the winds are blowing this way and we're turning this way. No, but we are resolutely in a certain direction. Jesus, Scripture says this about Jesus. He set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. Nothing was going to distract him. He was very, very resolute in his certain direction. He needed to go to Jerusalem. Okay? And so we need to be the same way, to fix, to turn. We need to be very intentional. About the direction we're going, steadfastly set. Can you see how patience, constant and consistent, and this works together? We establish our heart. We become very resolute in moving in this direction. Very resolute in moving in this direction, and it helps us be constant. Constant. No, I'm not going to turn to the right hand or to the left. I'm moving in this direction. Why? Because I want this result. We're talking about healing. I want this result. So all of a sudden I have a path. I have a direction. And I turn and I fix my heart. And so when I was dealing with my finger not working, you kind of go in overtime, working on that one area, dealing on that one thing, right? You focus extra time and extra attention on that one thing. You might be able to do a number of things, but there's extra fixing, focusing, turning, becoming very resolute. Why? Because I want a certain result. I want a certain result, and I'm not backing down. I want a certain result, and I'm not giving up. I want a certain result, and I'm not going to cave in. I'm not going to be blown sideways. Amen? Steadfast and strengthened. So all of a sudden, there's this strength to continually be constant. Amen? And so we'll get into that next week. But our first key element to receiving our healing is to be patient, to be constant, consistent, have endurance and perseverance so we can receive, so he can come and rain righteousness on us, or set things right, put things right, and make things right. Amen? Glory to God.